You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of October 4th, 2023, and this week it's the Switch 2 Tea Leaves.
Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Obler.
My name is Scott Juster.
And this is a serious but a humorless conversation about video games. We're going to talk about Nintendo 2, like a collected news story that I thought was kind of like well-researched and kind of cool.
Constellation from Polygon. Data.
Before we do, rather than just inserting our normal tangents, of which I'm sure there will be some regardless, we also wanted to have a quick conversation because you had a question you wanted to bring me that I think is fun to talk about. Why don't we do that first?
Okay, this is an important video game and parenting decision that I'm embarking upon here. So yeah. I need your counsel. Sam has gotten really into this game that is like an educational game on the computer that they have at school. It's called Prodigy, and it's essentially a turn-based RPG. It's like a JRPG style, like, you know, run into an enemy, screen wipes, and then you get to a thing where there's two rows, you're on the left, enemies on the right, picking things. Instead, in this game, you have to like do math problems to like build up your magic points and stuff like that.
I dig it.
It's not terrible. You know, the kind of explicitly educational games can be kind of hit and miss, but not terrible. But he's really liking it. Like, he's liking the structure of it and just the... just kind of the setup. He's never played a turn-based RPG before. And that just got me thinking, oh man, well, if you like this cheesy educational game that also has some pretty rank free-to-play shit in it, by the way. So like, you know,
what do you mean? Like, there's not like microtransactions and shit, right?
Oh, hell yeah. There's microtransactions in this. Like,
children's that came on the public school provided laptop.
I mean, it's just the, this is a whole other side topic.
That makes me so mad, dude.
I mean, you have to like become a member to like unlock this amount of levels and shit, or it's like, oh, if you're a member, you can get this armor. And I'm like, oh my god, I hate everything and everybody.
At that point, you might as well just load a fucking real RPG on that shit, dude. Like, you're doing math anyway, which we talked about before. But like, now there's also like malicious consumer practices. Like,
it's not great. And Sam really dislikes it because it makes me and Hana really go off and try to teach him about economics, which he just really...
It's not that he doesn't hate being the notifications. He hates mom and dad using it as an excuse to talk about like the actual systems that are...
Yeah, I'm trying to teach him about, you know, if you're not paying for something, you are the product, you know, like it's an important lesson to learn, but like he just wants to play a video game. But exactly to your point, though, If you're going to play this cheesy educational one, there are so many hallowed, revered turn-based RPGs in the video game landscape.
Yep.
So where do I start? That is the question. Like I've done this a few times now with different genres, and I'm faced with another decision. Like, how do I introduce him to a genre?
I recently met someone that runs like creates a YouTube channel dedicated to RPGs. So I'm going to ask them this question also.
Oh, nice.
And be like,
nice.
What's the word? Yeah. I mean, thinking back, like, man, there's a lot. I can tell you what you shouldn't put in front of them.
All right. Pokemon. Let's start with the process of elimination.
No Pokemon.
Oh, it's so tempting because he literally asks about Pokemon and I just kind of ignore it.
You have to just like pretend it doesn't even exist. Like you're basically gaslighting him, right? Every time I mention it, like, my dad just keeps going as though I'm not saying anything.
He just like blanks out and he just leaves the room. Like, what is even happening?
No Kingdom Hearts.
No. Oh, good. Oh, great call. Yes.
Because that's like another kids focused one, right?
Well, it's also just madness. It's like the Disney craziness. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at like a big list. So I feel like the obvious would be, what, Super Mario RPG, Paper Mario, Bowser's Inside Story.
Ooh.
Bowser's Inside Story might actually be really good.
Okay, I'm writing stuff down.
Because that's turn-based, right?
I believe so. I mean, so is Paper Mario too.
But like, on the other hand, it's so hard to, for me to think of, like, what were those first games, right? But for me, okay, I'm just going to go back in my little time travel tunnel of, like, falling in love with video games and RPGs when I was young.
Hmm.
For me, it was a suddenly surprising, like, expansive world. Like, everything was big and felt real. Like, you know, when you get to the world map and you're like, holy shit, there's, like, all this stuff,
yeah,
you know, to explore. That feels really significant to me, and you're not going to get that in a thing like a Mario RPG.
That's true.
Mario.
They're much more scaled down.
Yeah. So, like, I was thinking about, like, what are the ones that are a bit more kid-friendly, sort of cover the basics, aren't terrible? Because, you know, I would want to say something like a Final Fantasy, but I don't know, yeah, man. Like, those are pretty esoteric and narratively speaking. Yeah, they're really dense, and it's like, if you don't have the vocabulary to deal with, like, I think you and I as kids played those games, maybe they were even above our head, some of the early Final Fantasies, and we just played them and just didn't catch on to a lot of that stuff, but I don't think you need to get through that. So a few that just pop into my mind, do you remember Dark Cloud?
I don't think I ever played that, but that's like a well regarded, is Dark Cloud a BioWare game?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah.
Interesting.
So that one sticks out to me. Mm. I've never played Skies of Arcadia, but I know that for some people, it is their favorite game of all time. I know Nate, a friend of ours, loved Skies of Arcadia.
Oh, yeah.
I think he has a tattoo of Skies of Arcadia pirate ship on his leg, which is fucking sweet.
Yeah.
So that one could be really good.
Yeah.
Secrets of Mana is kind of like a classic fantasy setting. Yeah.
That's true. It's so more of a, more of like an action game, but like there still is kind of like level ups and stuff. Like it was striking to me because the game he's playing is explicitly turn-based. Like he's selecting different.
So you're looking for like a specifically turn-based experience.
I was thinking about Final Fantasy and then it got me down the road of like, I have the first Octopath Traveler because I think the system in that is really good, that he would like the system, but I started playing it just to test it out again, and there's a lot of dialogue in it. And it's not necessarily, actually it's spoken dialogue, but it's still fairly dense. Like the story is pretty up front and center. And also I think it's a little bit old for him. Like it's like rated T, which I'm not so worried about the content that much, but more just like the complexity will potentially just, you know, go right over his head. I don't know.
Yeah. I loved, Lunar as a kid. That series was really good. Legends of Dragoon is another classic that you could go with. You know, what's funny though, like, I don't know if I would say Chrono Trigger as a first start, you know?
I was thinking about that.
I wouldn't say like Xenogears or anything. Like some of those are pretty crazy.
Yeah, it gets complicated. Because Chrono Trigger, I was tempted to do Chrono Trigger because it's a little bit, the battle system is less complex than, like I really like Final Fantasy VI, but, and I like the system in Final Fantasy VII quite a bit too, but the content in Final Fantasy VII is a little old for him. And two, the systems are pretty complex, like in terms of like, oh, front row and back row, and like here's buffs and debuffs, like all of that stuff is a little, it might be a little fiddly, but maybe he wants that though. Like maybe he's ready to cast haste on people.
It's so funny. Yeah. Oh man, OP. It's such a time commitment, and it is going to set up your expectation of what a JRPG is, right?
Yeah.
Like, or what a turn-based RPG is. I mean, I feel like if I had to like pick something out of the hat, again, I haven't played it, but Skies of Arcadia feels like it hits that tone. You know, it's like chipper, cheery, pirates, classic turn-based RPG that everyone loves. Like, that's pretty sweet.
You're also not
committing them into like a, I want to play all the Dragon Quests, Daddy. Like, you know what I mean?
Maybe that's my new project. We're gonna all of the Final Fantasies.
You don't want to fall down that funnel.
Because you can buy all the Final Fantasies too on the Switch. Like it's crazy. Like Squaresoft doesn't like Square Enix has packaged those up for this explicit purpose, basically like the nostalgia hit. But like, so what are your thoughts? Like I was also thinking about Earthbound.
Dude, Earthbound is so weird. You know, like Earthbound to me kind of reminds me of something like Peter Pan, right? Which is a children's book that I wouldn't recommend any child read, but as an adult, I think is actually super interesting, right? Because there's a lot of adult anxieties expressed in the world of a children's story. And I think that's what Earthbound is, right? Like, there's a lot of adult anxieties and children's anxieties as well, I would say, that are well realized within Earthbound. And it is fucking bizarre as a result. Like, how does a child parse that? You know, like, how do you understand some of those things?
I mean, it's just a, it's, I think the humor in it is good, and like the absurdity of just like even like Mr. Saturn and all of that weird stuff. Like, but you're right.
There's a lot of humor. Is also like a Japanese mind making fun of like American tropes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, is a kid going to understand what that was like? You know, like, I don't know.
What else was I thinking? So the Final Fantasy stuck out.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Earthbound. I was thinking about, I had not considered.
You know what? Of the Final Fantasies, I bet you Final, I don't know how it ages in terms of gameplay, but Final Fantasy IX's world feels more age appropriate.
That is true. It's a bit more, and some of the themes of, you know, the mage who's trying to figure out who he is, and also the main character's also trying to figure out his origin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that stuff is kind of interesting. It's kind of like a coming-of-age story on a few different levels.
You know what would be fucking sweet, though? If you had him play Final Fantasy VII and then had him play the remake, like, oh, immediately afterwards. Or just show him, like, look at this. This is how far we've come.
And he'd be like, what are all these weird spirits flying around? It's like, oh, just wait.
It's
a good call on the, I hadn't thought about Skies of Arcadia. I'm so tempted to do Chrono Trigger, but I kind of need to wait. Like, I really need him to enjoy it, or else it will make me very sad if he doesn't.
Dude, I am constantly being like, your kids are old enough now to be like, oh, I'm excited about this thing. I want to, you know, watch whatever. Yeah. But it's like, you can't spoil it. You know, like, what is the right age? The one on my mind all the time is, what is the right age to introduce them to Avatar: The Last Airbender? Because they got to be old enough to like get it and love it. You know, I'm not about to waste that.
Exactly. Like, you can't, it would be so hard to come back to that. Like, I've thought about that same thing.
Well, I've even thought about how, like, at some point, you know, there are some of my favorite horror movies that I'm like, I'm going to get a 2 to 3 year window where I can show you this shit before you, like, move out. You know what I mean? Or get sick of me.
Right.
So it's like, I have to squeeze in. Like, I want you to watch Alien and Aliens, and I want you to watch The Thing, but I'm going to have to wait until you're like 15. Like, every time it's family movie night, it's going to be like Papa picking some fucking weird piece of like cinema that he wants us to watch.
Oh boy. It's Cronenberg month with Dad.
Yes.
I mean, okay. So in conclusion, I think I like the idea of, okay, one other totally left field thing. Is a Persona game too crazy?
I think it's way too fucking crazy, dude. Like, half those games are romancing and like banging your teacher and stuff. Like, you don't want to get them.
I feel like Persona 4 was more wholesome, you know.
There's still like, yeah. I mean, I don't think so. I don't think.
I guess there's all that fucking weird Persona 3 shit with is like Teddy. Teddy's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, you shoot yourself in the head to summon your personas. Like,
hey, that's Persona 3, okay? I stay away from Persona 3.
But the backdrop is like teen anxieties in those games, you know what I mean? Like, that's true. That's the heart of it. So I think those ones have to wait. I do think, though, that's like there's a place for that, you know, when he's older, like getting him a Persona game.
It's so hard because Pokemon is just this black hole and the event horizon is so large. Like, you can get, like, by the time you're stuck in Pokemon, by the time you realize it, it's too late. And so I just have to be really careful to not get stuck in Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it's so easy because Pokemon's a perfect first JRPG from a systems perspective.
You know what could be a good one, actually, that the world is really good and stylish and awesome would be Ni No Kuni.
Oh yeah, great call.
Like, and if he bounces off, like, that's fine, but like, it's a really cool world. It's gameplay is relatively simple and easy to understand.
Yeah,
you know, like, and it's not as sequel. Like,
Yeah, there's, you're right. And the first one, I think the sequel, they changed it a little bit, but the first one, I think it's a, I think it's straight up turn-based, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Man. Okay. I'm gonna look into, okay, I have a few possibilities.
You got some
here.
Homework. Skies of Arcadia, yeah. Ni No Kuni. Yeah.
Well, and also the Mario RPG remake comes out in November, which I think, regardless, I like the idea of the big world, like, because that's one of the things that I also liked a lot about RPGs. I remember even, man, I was an insufferable child, but like even as a kid, like I guess I was a teen or whatever, but like even as a kid when I was playing Mario RPG, I was kind of like, this is kind of a nice RPG for babies, you know, because it wasn't huge, like Final Fantasy-esque type of world. But like he would love the battling system for sure. But man, Ni No Kuni's a great call. Ni no Kuni's, great.
Well, and Ni No Kuni is the classic kid's fantasy too, of like you get sucked into another world and you're like a hero, you know, like that's, it's just, it's so cool. It's never ending story. It's all those classic fantasies.
Well, and it introduces the Studio Ghibli stuff, you know, like that can like be a whole, we've been trying to get, so that's been, this is another tangent, but like that's, that whole thing has been a point of debate between us
you and Hana.
Yeah, because we were gonna be like, oh, we should do all the Studio Ghibli stuff, like that would be great for like family movie nights. And I was like, but subs v dubs, come on, I have very strong opinions about this. And so like we're paralyzed by indecision about this, because Sam, I don't know if he can read very well, but I don't know if he'd be able to read that fast and also pay attention.
I will constantly go to bat for the dubs of Ghibli films. Like they don't pull the punches. They're great actors doing dubs. You know what I mean?
Maybe I'll show him. I still want him to know that this movie was from another language, you know.
What I would recommend actually, if he likes it, I mean, so for example, in our household, we've watched My Neighbor Totoro dozens of times.
Same a day.
Like literally all the time. I could easily put the movie on in Japanese and she would never fucking know. And in fact, that happened on accident once with Totoro, where we were like halfway through being like, oh, right, I forgot. Like, so I would start in dubbed and you can always go back to Japanese to like show them that experience. But they don't, the dubbing is not bad at all. You know what I mean? Like all of those dubs performances are great.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. This was highly productive. I have some homework to do and some things to download, but I'll report back with how the slow foray into JRPGs go.
Just remember, some of his films are very adult, so maybe don't jump into like, you know, Princess Mononoke.
I was about to say, I'm gonna
even Spirited Away is like pretty scary.
It is, yeah. That's okay. Excellent. So I guess the tangential connection here is that a lot of what I was researching was on the Switch, because that's what my kids mostly play.
Yes. Nice segue, Scott. Thank you. Appreciate
there is,
it. Hey,
there you go. Strands. There's been a lot of talk of the Switch 2. And like you said at the top of the show, there's been some articles. And basically people are starting to piece together what the timeline and the focus and all of that stuff of the Switch 2 looks like. Yep, and we've talked about this before. Like the Switch has had this crazy long cycle. And we're getting to the point where clearly they're going to, you know, do another one. And so now it's time to think about what comes next and what we know and what we don't know. So we'll chat about that a bit.
Yeah. So Switch 2, the switchiest, the switcher. I'm kind of surprised that, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm always surprised. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised by Nintendo's naming conventions. Who knows what this actually will be like, but I would be shocked if it wasn't just straight up called Switch 2.
But right? Nintendo has never, like, they've, like, let's think about the Nintendo systems. The Nintendo Entertainment System, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. So,
but it's not going to be, it's not going to be called like Super Switch. Although
why not? They've done
it
before.
It does have a certain ring to it, doesn't it? The Super Switch.
The Super Switch.
Fuck. Yeah, you're right.
And then
the next one,
the Nintendo 64, the weirdest one. Like,
that's no weirder than Xbox Series X.
I mean, S, you know? The like, whole series thing is a disaster, but like Xbox is just something that was made in the Bush administration. Like that's just this, like the early, like, I mean, that's just Xbox screams early 2000s and they're stuck with it forever. You know?
Yes. Yeah. That is the unfortunate truth. PlayStation, man, they got their head on straight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's just fucking keep it going.
Yeah. We're just,
you know, I like it. Straight to the punch. I appreciate it. Okay, switch to. Okay, so just some of the and again, a lot of this is speculation. There's been some interviews. There's been some leaked documents.
Yeah.
There's been some, you know, like a collection of strong sources to indicate this, but any of this could change. So keep everything that we say with a grain of salt. Currently expected launch to be Nintendo's 2024-2025 fiscal year. So we have another a little over a year, I guess. About a year and I guess about 2 years, year and a half.
Well, their fiscal year, they're saying that they're going to, this is just like classic corporate speak or whatever, but they're going to say we're going to support Switch in their next fiscal year, which begins in March 2024, which suggests that
they would be launching games on that platform.
Yes, sometime in that fiscal year. Yeah. Yes. Which is interesting because that lines up with, you know, sometime, this is their last big holiday season, basically.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me. Like, that timing seems right. There's already a lot of rumors about, you know, again, the Xbox leak. So there's conversations about what's happening across the industry as a whole. I know Switch still sells very, very well, but I'm sure its sales are lagging as it used to be.
I mean, we're running out of humans to sell a Switch to.
That's literally fundamentally the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone that listens to me, I'm like, yeah, get a Switch. Why not? Get a Switch.
I get a
lot of people asking me, because they've started to play games with their kids. Like, literally, this happened this week. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about getting something. And I'll just get a Switch.
Yeah, easy.
It's great.
Cheap.
Easy, cheap. Will it be a hybrid handheld console? Yes, seems to be the answer to this.
And that's from, like, development kits, which I think is totally unsurprising to me. I mean, it feels like at this point, with what the Switch did and then what the Steam Deck has continued to do has kind of crazily changed games forever, I think.
Yeah.
You know, just consoles. Yeah, I think there's just this, like, there's this new market of consoles that are these hybrid systems that I think it's just going to be with us forever at this
point. Would you lump the Steam Deck into that?
I mean, it's definitely not a, you know, you're not running a like 4080 in there, but it's the point of the Steam Deck is its portability, but also the excellent library of games, which is basically the same value prop as the Switch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of, I'm going to jump around a little bit in this article. I want to talk about the power of the Switch on that note. So
the power.
The power. So based upon some internal emails that were part of the FTC filings that came out around Activision, there was conversation between other third parties with Nintendo suggesting that the performance would be close to, quote unquote, Gen 8 platforms, which implies PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Eurogamer VGC reported that Nintendo was aiming to have specs that ran the Matrix Awakens Unreal Engine 5 tech demo that we talked about on this podcast, I don't know, like a year ago or whatever, when that
was like
came
a PS5, I remember playing that.
Which looks great. Like, it looks fantastic, which is surprising. If that's true, that's quite good. I mean, that's basically on par with PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Now, there's no way, I don't think this is going to be comparable to those two in terms of the sort of graphical fidelity or, you know, ray tracing or HDR or any of that. But what I do find super interesting, and we were talking about this a little bit before the show, but there's this sort of gap right now between I'm a Switch owner, maybe I got it when I'm a kid, and then I graduate to sort of more mature titles, right? And generally speaking, if you want to make that jump, you have to buy another console. Yeah. And I think that by increasing the graphical fidelity to be able to run current gen games on that look okay or do fine, be it frame rate or graphics, and certainly with crossplay, I think Nintendo is going to do a far better job at helping bridge that gap from like a sort of age demographic consumer story, right? Like where you have the Switch is the game to get, and like I was just saying, if you have a family and you're interested in playing video games and you don't currently have a console, get a Switch because it plays the Mario games plus, right?
Yeah.
And now the plus is that much bigger if this is true with the Switch 2, right?
Yeah.
Get a Switch 2 because you'd be able to play those next-gen games. But first and foremost, as your kid is growing up, they have access to Mario, right? They have access to all these great Nintendo titles. And as they age up, they can start dabbling. And if and when you get to the point where they say, okay, I'm less interested in Mario games, I just want to play fucking God of War or whatever, like, okay, get a PlayStation or get an Xbox. But I think bridging that gap even more clearly with their offerings, is a really strong selling point, and to me is like one of the biggest deals about a Switch 2 release.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another one of the things that the Switch and the Steam Deck has done, which is, I think it elongates the technical generation because you have this huge install base that wants to play these games, and it's not the latest and greatest. And so whatever that benchmark ends up being a benchmark that a lot of games have to run on regardless. And so it is kind of exciting if you could play, you know, Red Dead 2 on this in a meaningful way, or Cyberpunk or whatever.
Lies of P.
Lies of P. I mean, and again, not that any of these games would come to the Switch, but the fact that they could means that you have, I mean, you know, Capcom supports the, you know, a lot of different platforms, and you know, Activision and all of the, you know, Ubisoft, all of the, imagine if it was far less work to put all of those games on the next Switch. Like that would, it would just, I don't know. I think you're right. Like it would be a much easier gap for people to bridge.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of sort of the quality in that gap, there was talk about getting hands-on with like a Breath of the Wild improved demo that sounded like it had higher frame rate and performance. I kind of hope that they do what PlayStation 5 had, where a lot of game developers, I guess it was an opt-in process, I assume. It wasn't something that was like Sony mandated, but released patches to their games that would increase sort of the look and feel of it, right? Bloodborne did this where they finally released like 60 frames per second lock, which was incredible.
Yeah.
It would be so rad to be able to play Breath of the Wild with even greater sort of frame rate and visual fidelity. Like it would just be so cool to jump back into that experience.
I mean, that's the thing, like that they've already done so much with the, both the technology and just the art design of all of their games on the Switch. We were playing some Mario Kart the other day, and I was just remarking on it. I was like, this is a good looking video game. Like this game is better looking than it needed to be. And it's running on something that you generally wouldn't think of as like a graphical powerhouse. And so all the tricks and stuff that they have are most likely still in effect, but you know, there's just so much other stuff they could do. And then, you know, I would love a, you know, a 60 frames per second locked Tears of the Kingdom. It'd be great. I mean, maybe that's actually a good segue to what happens to your Switch library, and is this something that is kind of backwards compatible?
Yeah, you know, the thing that is always scary to me is you never fucking know, right? You never know. My dream, my hope would be everything just ports over. Like you just, all those games, you could just I mean, very similar to the way the PlayStation 5 works. And that is the expectation, right? I think from a consumer expectation perspective, you should expect to be able to bring your games over. And that's what Sony established with PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 versions, where if you buy the game on the PlayStation 4 and you upgrade to a PlayStation 5, you can then download the PlayStation 5 version or vice versa, is so fundamentally smart and consumer friendly that it would be my expectation and desire. But it's Nintendo. But even not Nintendo aside, like anytime we're talking about a backward compatibility, there's hoops to jump through, and it's so much fucking easier to say we're just not going to jump through it, right?
So I
think genuinely I don't know. I think it could go either way.
I mean, I think if you think about their historical approach, let's see what they do. Basically ever since they went disc based, they've actually been, I feel like Nintendo's been fairly okay with that stuff. The Wii could play GameCube games.
Well, but let's like, sure. So even if that's the case though, would you need to buy a new version of your game regardless? Like, sure, maybe you can play, I don't know, maybe, maybe you could play a game that hasn't been updated on the Switch 2, but like, if it has been updated, like, are there going to be updated versions of those games?
Sony got into this problem for a while. Now that they've kind of transitioned off, remember there was a series of games. I think Horizon was one of them, and they might have even done this with Death Stranding now that I think about it, but there was kind of $10 upgrade paths where if you had the PS4 version, you could buy,
you had to pay,
you could pay
it.
$10 to get, but it wasn't just a, it was to buy the PS5 version. It wasn't to get an optimized PS4 version, if that makes sense.
Yes, I see. I see. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's ultimately my question, right? Is like, do you get an upgraded version of those experiences if you buy that, right? Or if you have a Switch and you're going to get the 5, like, do you get that new version? If you, so, you know, in the year where they're quote-unquote supporting the Switch, mm-hmm. and you buy a current game on your Switch, do you automatically get the Switch upgraded version when both are on the market?
I feel like Microsoft was very good about this and Sony was less good about it. And I have, got to believe that Nintendo will not be great about it, but I guess we'll see.
that's the dilemma, right? It's like, I don't know. With Nintendo, I feel like you never really know.
Well, I mean, I'm much more of the opinion that it will, you know, they're going to, who knows what the games are going to come out, but you can assume that there will be a Super Mario game. It seems like a safe assumption that there will be a Super Mario game in the launch window of this thing, because they're, what has the Odyssey team been doing, right? They must be doing this, whatever the next thing is. But I could easily see them. Well, actually, no. Now I'm kind of backtracking on this because look, because what they do with Twilight Princess was on both GameCube and Wii, and Breath of the Wild was on both Wii U and Switch, but they sold them as two separate SKUs and never merged them at all.
Right.
So I bet you that's what they would do, where it's like, hey, if you want to buy Super Mario Universe, you could buy it on the Switch or the Switch 2, whatever you want, but it's two separate.
Get on both for a bundle.
Yeah, exactly. You can buy them anywhere.
I mean, and it's so weird in this age of like digital download, right? Because it just doesn't make sense to me anymore. It's like, just give me the thing.
To me, that's the scarier part, because Nintendo, I think, has been relatively worse at the digital transitions. Like all the eShop stuff and all of the virtual console. Although there were those news stories where they did confirm that they're using the same Nintendo ID system going forward, which suggests to me that if those games are tied to your account, it paves a better path. Because like it was so heartbreaking when the virtual console shut down. Because like, oh shit, all the money is just like, you know, thrown into a hole that they then discontinued. Whereas if you have a service like the Nintendo Online account persist across multiple generations of hardware, then there's it's a harder argument to make that you need to rebuy those things.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed.
But that's probably why they're trying to push everything to the Switch Online subscription stuff, so that no one can buy it. You know, it's like, stay subscribed, and that's how you get Donkey Kong.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't love that.
Yeah. I think it's got to be backwards compatible, though. Like, they've done it with the DS. They did it between DS and Game Boy, you know, for God's sakes. Like, it seems like they can kind of figure this one out.
Yeah, I mean, at least from a cartridge perspective, right? Because if the cartridges are backwards compatible, then it doesn't really matter. You just slot that bad boy in, you know?
But again, it's like, such a huge library.
Maybe there's an upgrade fee if you want to, like, play with better frame rate or something. I don't know. It's a weird...
We'll see if they announce John Riccitiello joining Nintendo of America, and then it'll be an install fee.
So, you know, if we're looking at, like, fiscal 2024-25... when are we looking at announcements for all this stuff, like including Xbox shit, right? Like that would be sort of not, I guess E3 is dead, but the E3 window. So what, like summer, fall of next year?
You would have to think that because they can't talk about it at all until the North America holiday buying season is done, because they want to sell, sell out all of the Switches. So it has to be, I'm assuming it'll be a direct, but like, you know, it'll have to be sometime in the spring, you'd imagine.
Yeah.
Because they want enough runway. It is. Yeah, it's not far away. And if I recall correctly, the original Switch came out sometime in the spring or summer. So like it kind of, I don't think they're, you know, they're not beholden to the Christmas season as consoles were back in the old days.
Well, I guess now I'll have to tell all my friends, actually, don't buy a Switch. Hold on to it. Just hold. Buy in a couple years.
No, I'd tell them to buy a Switch, because can you imagine how in demand these things are going to be when they actually announce it?
That's a very good point, yeah. Dude, you're
take them out of the market.
How many Nintendo consoles will you have in your house at this point?
Dude, a lot. And then like not even 12? Counting the garage.
yeah, that's hilarious.
I do kind of want to, like, I think my old NES is still probably at my parents' house. It would be, I bet the kids would get a kick out of just, like, how archaic that thing looks.
Yeah, like, I mean, wait until they're 16 and then they have to, like, blow into it and shove that in there. True. Like, yeah. That's wild.
It's funny, when we were playing Pikmin, some of the items and all the items in Pikmin are like found objects, and some of the objects are Nintendo things. So like we found like a Game Boy Micro, and we found like a GBA cartridge or whatever. And I was trying to explain to the kids what they were, which was pretty funny.
That's great. That's great. I mean, in fact, going back to our first conversation, that's a good reason to start with just an old RPG, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, rip the, you know. Make them experience it now before they become biased against pixel graphics of that bygone era.
Oh, man, yeah. We're going to start off with the original Dragon Quest, Dragon Quest 1.
Yeah. Work your way through it, son.
Man, I'm sure. I know for sure. And again, this goes back to the purchases and the backwards compatibility or whatever, but Square Enix will sell you a lot of stuff on the Nintendo eShop. I mean, they'll sell you Final Fantasy bundles and... they sell those pretty good versions of Final Fantasy 7, 8, and 9, the ones that have the like fast forward and the auto battling and all of that stuff. Like,
yeah.
All of that stuff. I mean, it's such a huge library. Like, it would be audacious of even Nintendo to ask people to pay for that stuff again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true.
I'm excited for it. I just get giddy to see, you know, what the new games are on it. But I think like seeing what they do, especially seeing the like the new hardware and stuff. We didn't even talk about the hardware stuff. Like, are they going to fix the Joy-Cons? Are they not going to be crap anymore? Who knows?
Nope. Yeah. Well, they also said rumors were that they were getting rid of the OLED screen and replacing it with an LCD, for example.
I mean, that probably makes their accountants very, very happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're playing it docked, like, who cares, I guess.
That is true. Yeah. Although so many, like, I think more and
although
more
I never
our,
played it docked, you know?
That's the thing. So yeah.
That would bum me out to have an LCD versus an OLED for sure.
Yeah.
Especially and if also, you're newly adding like graphical fidelity.
Yeah. It's know? Just even, I mean, maybe the, I could see the screen being bigger, like removing some of the bezel and just like having a larger screen at the same, roughly the same footprint.
Just fight the Steam Deck for weight.
I mean, yeah, I don't think it'll ever, I mean, it'll be smaller than that, but like there's stuff you could do to that screen. But yeah, I mean, like now that there's so many people in this house that play video games, I think the handheld, the undocked use case is more and more common.
For sure.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right, let's leave it there for this week. I mean, you know, Nintendo will tell us when we can pre-order it. We're clearly already in the bag, but, you know, as long as I can play Ni No Kuni on it, I think that's the conclusion. That's here.
The barrier.
experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is the website. You can also find us wherever you find podcasts. Do us a favor, leave us a review, and tell a friend.
Cool. All right, everyone. As always, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time